Legrand, I know you want to be back on your way before the moon rises and darkness falls.
We can afford to wait a little while. Though the stars are right for the old one to return, we must see what awaits him upon his awakening. As for you, girl, Mama Minuit was a seer. If you have her powers, you will tell us what is to come.
I tell you nothing, Dong Man!
Krofu shifted his crossbow, the sticky point aiming at Vaili's heart.
Then you watch your grandfather die.
Neither Vaili nor Esther spoke or moved. After a stretched-out moment, she nodded slightly, shoulders sagging in resignation.
My aunts must be freed.
Krofu, cut her loose. Old man, if she plays us false, you will die.
Krofu used his Kaiser knife to slice through the rawhide thongs binding Esther's wrists. She rubbed them briefly to restore circulation, then slid from the sofa, crouching very close to the fire, so close to the licking tongues of the flames that perspiration began literally rivering down her naked body. For long, quiet minutes, Esther stared into the fireplace.
You want to look down the road, yes?
That's right. Moving forward.
Such glimpses may be dangerous. There is always a price exacted by the Lua.
All they have to do is ask, and the request will be met.
The woman turned her face away from the dancing flames, angling an eyebrow at the Swampies.
That is not what I meant. You are not aware of the one true price. No man can be. But that which you worship is not a man. You need his protection, his guarantees, his good favor.
Esther closed her eyes, her entire body seeming to relax in a posture of prayer. She made motions with her hands, intricate, peculiar, circular gestures.
The flames show me. They speak to me. They reveal the road to me. The earth burns. The world turns. The sky is flame, the ground is ash, and still like a parasite, the cockroach, the legend, and the meat, the old one endures. The old one survives. But so does man.
As he always has, as he always will.
How many times will man destroy himself, following the road laid out by his maker, exercising what he believes in his heart to be free will? And yet keeping to the pathways chosen eons ago by the old ones. There are always two paths to follow, two choices to be made. The do and the do not. Up or down, in or out, one way or the other. Such is the curse of man.
Yet there are those who know otherwise. They see the right direction, like the old ones.
The woman turned as if to look at him, yet her eyes were still closed tight. Her firelight-sculpted face was unreadable, unknowable.
I have seen the future in all of its terrible colored glory. I do not like what I see.
What do you see of the old one? What do you see of him?
They come for him. They come. They come from within.
Who comes?
They come across the sky and back again. Across the world over and over. A patchwork. A joining of lands. Tread through the needle, the pathways hidden. They travel by lightning, by thunder, through the magic of the storm. Earnest in the caves, the energy electric. Worse, the energy forbidden. Explosive, destructive. Yet they still come. They still come.
Who travels? How many?
There are two brothers. Brothers in all but blood. Brothers in arms and in souls. They will seek two women who possess healing knowledge. They will come from the pathways, hidden, and arrive at the forbidden place of dead science.
A stealthy step padded outside the door, but neither Swampy looked away from Esther.
Can they be stopped?
These things are governed by immutable laws. The Loa enforce the laws. I do not altogether understand them myself. No human can. Events must work out to either salvation or damnation.
Esther drew in a breath and leaned back from the flames. She opened her eyes and stared unfocusedly at the fire.
That is all I see. Two women, two men following the path invisible.
The woman's body slumped, her head bowed, the dreadlocks coiling on the floor like snakes.
What's that noise?
I hear nothing.
You can't hear that? That sound like footsteps, right after she stopped talking.
I hear nothing. My eyes may be poor, but my ears are clear.
The Loa have many servants.
Krofu aimed his crossbow at her bare back.
And they're about to lose another one.
No!
Bailey flung himself at the Swampy. The string of the crossbow twanged, and the quarrel drove into the old man's chest. He fell half on, half off the sofa, clawing at the shaft sprouting from his body. From the doorway, a black and sleek shape hurtled toward Krofu, who had just enough time and presence of mind to turn around before 115 pounds of growling animal flesh fell upon him. Krofu fell over on his hip, grit pressing into his cheek, the smell of the huge mastiff's breath filling his face and his mind as the dog thrust a long snout up under his bearded chin. Bone white flashed in the flickering firelight as the dog's mouth sought the right spot to strike. Spittle from the mastiff sprayed Krofu's neck. In shock, Legrand watched the rise and fall of the dog's heavy breathing as Krofu's vertebrae splintered between the animal's huge jaws. Esther snapped her fingers at the dog, and it stopped chewing. It backed away, but the great head sunk as it lapped once at the blood forming a pool around Krofu's head.
The Loa have many servants. He is one of them. The price they exacted for my services was the life of one of you.